Our guest today is Fred Nathan. He is the founder and executive director of Think New Mexico. And from 1991 to 1998, Fred, you were the special counsel to Tommy Dahl when he was the Attorney General of New Mexico. Can you tell us a little bit about Think New Mexico?
Sure. We're a little bit different than we're a public policy think tank, and we're a little bit different than most think tanks. Most think tanks are either way, way over on the left or way, way over on the right. And we just believe in a state that's 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings, that the focus should be on results and solutions rather than ideology. And consistent with that approach, we've got a board of directors made up of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. I always get in trouble when I start ticking off board members.
Well,
it's always
people,
the one you leave off
right.
that has a relative in the audience, and then I end up hearing about it.
Right. And we know you've got a fantastic board, and people can read more about the organization on your website, which is thinknewmexico.org. Let's talk about this report. Fred, you must have really just been so pleased about the timing, because I know that Think New Mexico does one report a year. Was any of this controversy going on with the PRC when you started this?
No, we selected the topic about 6 months ago, and it was just our good fortune, I guess, Jerome Block's bad fortune, that he resigned when he did. And it really did a very good job of underscoring the need for the reforms that we're proposing.
Well, let's talk about this report. You say in the report that those present at the birth of the PRCC still shudder. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, and we also called the PRC the accidental agency, because we went back and traced the legislative history of how the PRC came into being. And when you do that research, it becomes quickly apparent that nobody intended really for this to pass. It was introduced by a two-term legislator who actually had the best of intentions. And I think it was just something of an afterthought. He dropped the bill 15 days into a 30-day session.
And this was Bob Pearls, a Democrat of Corrales, was the
Correct.
Sponsor of this bill. Okay.
Correct.
And this is, what year was this? So
this would be 1996.
Okay. So.
And he, you know, there was some surface appeal to the bill. He took a three-person state corporation commission that was elected that regulated insurance and telecommunications and the fire marshal and a few other things, and merged it with the three-member appointed Public Utilities Commission. And the bill, you know, didn't look like a lot. It was just three pages, 57 lines, but it had massive implications for the people of New Mexico, because it created the largest state regulatory agency in the country in terms of all the different things that it regulates in one place.
And I want to get to that. I know you've got a fantastic cover on the report with a donkey with all of the various different kinds of baggage.
Yes.
So I want to get to that. But something I'm just curious about, why, okay, we used to have a public regulatory commission, and then we had this other board that did various things, fire marshal and so on.
Right.
What was the motivation originally for this legislation, if you know, from Bob Pearls, and I know Manny Aragon was involved, why did people want to do this?
I think that there was great dissatisfaction with the State Corporation Commission and some of the commissioners, and it's sort of what we're seeing now, you know, problems with corruption and not doing a very efficient job of regulating the entities that they were responsible for regulating, and there were just sort of, again, a history of turmoil and scandal. And so the PUC, the other state agency, didn't have nearly as many problems, but there was, I think, a feeling at the time that maybe if we merged the two, it would become more like the PUC, and in reality, it made things worse, and they're actually more like the State Corporation Commission.
So is this a case of out of the frying pan and into the fire?
Actually, that's a very good description. I think it's actually worse than it was before, when it was two separate entities.
Okay, now I know this is a big question, so take a deep breath.
Yes.
What are the areas currently regulated by the PRC?
So it's kind of a monstrous assemblage of different responsibilities that goes from regulating utilities, so that would include electricity, natural gas, water, and wastewater. Telecommunications, which isn't really so much utility anymore, but...
So like cable and...
Cable and internet providers and landline telephones.
Okay, but not cell phones.
Not cell phones.
Okay.
Insurance, so that would include everything from health, property, title, and auto insurance.
Oh, my goodness.
Motor carriers, which would include tow trucks, taxis, moving vans, buses, shuttles, ambulances, and railroads.
Fred, I mean, I have to say, this almost sounds like you've got to be kidding.
It is sort of comical how all of these different things get thrown together, and I'm only halfway through the
list. Okay, go ahead. I want to hear the rest.
Oil, natural gas, and hazardous liquid pipelines, which I never get to.
Do we have any of those?
Oh, yeah, we've got them all over the state. And corporations.
Wow.
Just really the registration and reporting of corporations.
Which would normally be in the Secretary of State's office in most states.
In most, that's exactly right. In most states, that's what happens. And then, of course, the state fire marshal's office, which we wouldn't want to leave out.
Oh my goodness.
So it's kind of a crazy conglomeration of lots of different things. And I, full disclosure for your audience, I had to look at the reports to make sure I didn't leave anybody out.
Yeah, otherwise, it would be sort of like studying for the bar again to memorize all the topics,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay, so with this huge area of things that are regulated by the PRC, everything from cable to hazardous pipelines to taxis, what are the qualifications currently for someone to be a commissioner? There are five, right?
Correct.
To be a commissioner of the PRC.
Well, that's the tragedy, is that they have so much jurisdiction and so few qualifications. The qualifications are just that you're at least 18 years of age, you've lived in the state for a year, and you're not a felon, which, of course, has tripped up Carol Sloan and now Jerome Block Jr.
Right. That seems to be a bit of a tough one for some of our elected officials.
Right.
So 18 years old, not a felon, and live in the state of New Mexico. And what's the salary?
The salary is $90,000.
You know, we've all been kind of saying, I mean, some of us hail from the East Coast, and sometimes I have a hard time putting it in perspective. Is that a big salary for someone here in Santa Fe, for a New Mexico official? How does that compare?
Well, I'd answer it this way, that once Jerome Block Jr. finally resigned, there have been 88 people applying for that position. So I would say relative to New Mexico, that's a very well-paying position.
Well, plus you get the gas card, right?
The gas card comes with it. You get a staffer and you get a car.
A car.
In addition to the card. So it's got a lot of perks. And, when you put that combination together, as I told the New Mexican, as long as you have so much power consolidated at the PRC with so few qualifications, and your point about the $90,000 a year salary, it's going to be a magnet for corrupt politicians like the Jerome Block Juniors of the world.
Well, you've led right into my next question, which is, in your report, you have sort of a timeline of skullduggery, the PRC. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And before you go into the detail, I wanted to read you, this may spark your memory, something that came from the Albuquerque Journal, which says that, unfortunately, Block is just the latest in a long list of commissioners whose behavior has ranged from merely dubious to astonishingly criminal. One commissioner hired a convicted embezzler as his executive assistant. Another stuck taxpayers with an $840 to $1,000 settlement in a sexual harassment lawsuit. Still another got caught at a local airport carrying marijuana. And yet another bashed her husband's alleged mistress over the head with a rock.
Mm-hmm. And she was convicted of several felonies, too.
That was Carol Sloan.
That was Carol Sloan, yeah. That pretty much covers the waterfront. You know, I would just point out that Jason Marks, who's still on the commission and is a very honorable person with lots of integrity, he was interviewed, and I read it, and he said that by his count, which might be better than mine, a third of the people that have been elected to the commission have either been removed from office or involved in some of these scandals. And I think the Journal did a pretty good job of covering the waterfront. I just point out that Baca, in addition to her little problem with marijuana, which she said was planted in her luggage, she also, when she was running for the PRC, wrote a letter to every registered lobbyist in the state asking for cash contributions, which is something that we discovered. So they left that out. And, you know, they've just been marred by internal infighting from their inception and these little petty scandals and some major felonies.
It's kind of amazing that they actually ever get anything done.
Well, that's what Jason Marks says, is that even if you are qualified for that position, so he's got a college degree and a law degree, and he's the longest serving member at 6 years, and he says it's just overwhelming even for him to understand all of the complexity and all of the nuances of the matters that come before him, and he really struggles to keep up.
I can imagine.
Okay, let's get back to our interview with Fred Nathan, founder and executive director of Think New Mexico. We've talked about the many problems with the PRC, and let's talk about solutions. We'll get back to the interview now.
The problem, and then you have some very concrete solutions. Let's talk about that a little bit. You say we need to increase qualifications and streamline the responsibilities. So what would you propose on the qualification side?
So on the qualification side, Nancy, the debate has always been whether the PRC commissioners should be elected or appointed, and there are problems with both, and we think that that debate is sort of beside the point. What we really need to fundamentally focus on is the qualifications, just the basic competency of those who serve as PRC commissioners. So we started with just that there be at least a college graduate, and we recognize and I think have been sensitive to the fact that because of the poverty in New Mexico, not everybody has had the opportunity or the financial circumstances to go to college and might have some relevant experience that would qualify them. So we've made it sort of an either or, that you either have a college degree, and we hope maybe a master's or a graduate degree of some kind as well, or 5 years of relevant experience in a field like law or economics or business or accounting. Engineering would be good, so that they can really understand the issues that come before them. And we've been criticized by two commissioners who may not meet the standards, who don't have college degrees. And my response to that is, if you read the statutes of what the commissioners are supposed to do, they're really, in most cases, supposed to act like judges.
Mm-hmm.
And in New Mexico, judges, in addition to having college degrees, and I'm talking about district judges, court of appeal judges, Supreme Court judges, because they deal with very complex matters, they also have law degrees. So one could argue from the other side that we haven't been demanding enough, that there ought to be a graduate degree. And frankly, I know a few people walking around with college degrees, and I wouldn't want them on the PRC.
Yeah.
So ideally, they would have both a graduate degree and some relevant experience.
And relevant experience, because the current scope is so broad, saying they should have relevant experience, if they had it in one small area, let's say they had somehow been involved in taxi regulation in the past, how would that help with hazardous pipelines or... You know, so you can see why people might argue for even more than what you're proposing.
Right. We think it's really just a modest suggestion.
It seems very modest to me.
Right. And that leads to the next set of reforms, which are all around refocusing the PRC on its core mission.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So as you've already noted, it's just amazing the breadth and depth of the things that they're supposed to regulate. And we would just, again, refocus them on the core mission of regulating utilities, which is an enormous responsibility.
In and of itself.
Yes. Yeah. Electric, gas, water, wastewater, and telecommunications. And we're heartened that two of the commissioners, the chairman, Pat Lyons, and the longest-serving member, Jason Marks, have endorsed this and said, we've got way too much on our plates. So here are some of the things that we take away from them. The first is insurance, which most states, as you noted, have a separate Department of Insurance that's not part of regulating utilities. The governor's office has been very supportive of all our regulations except for this one. They don't want to see it as a cabinet agency, and we're fine with that. If they want to park it under regulation and licensing where you've already got banks and financial institutions, that would make enormous sense too.
Sure.
A second area that we would remove from them is the Corporations Bureau, which simply is there to receive corporate filings and fees.
For example, if somebody wants to set up a corporation or an LLC in New Mexico, they have to fill out some paperwork and send it in. Usually, I think in other states, that's the Secretary of State's office.
Right, and in New Mexico, the LLCs do report to the Secretary of State, and there's enormous confusion among the businesses. In fact, if you go to the...
Wait a minute. So the LLCs go one place, and the corporations go somewhere else?
Correct. Go to the PRC.
Wow.
And it's so fractured and confusing that the Secretary of State on their website tells businesses, you know, for these certain functions, actually you have to go to the PRC. And you would think in this economy, when we're trying to be a little more business friendly, that it would make enormous sense to have a one-stop shop.
That seems like an easy one.
It is an easy one, but controversial, again, to two PRC commissioners that want to keep all of the current functions they currently have
under one roof. I want to get to that, particularly Ben Hall's statement. I want to ask you about that later. But before we get there, because I want to talk about people's reactions generally,
sure.
But let's just try to walk our listeners through a little bit more about what you would do. There was some, it seemed to me your reforms, besides the changing the requirements for commissioners, which is a huge one, but the reforms on changing what the commission handles kind of fell into two categories. One was, let's take this particular thing that the PRC now has kind of strapped onto its back and move it where it belongs into a separate department. And then there was sort of another area where you said, you know, some things that the PRC does don't need to be regulated at all. They're not really a good candidate for regulation. And one of those was had to do with taxis, and there was like a company called Green Taxi. Tell us about that a little bit.
Okay. So yeah, this is probably the area that is the most archaic and the most counterproductive. So 4 or 5 years ago, an entrepreneur in Albuquerque had a terrific idea, which was to start a green taxi company here in Santa Fe. And he was going to purchase hybrid vehicles and, you know, he had a very good business plan. Currently, and then there was only one taxi cab company serving all the residents of Santa Fe. And under this archaic law, when you want to start a taxi cab company or a shuttle company or a bus company or a moving company, you have to get the permission of the PRC and file for what is called a certificate of convenience and necessity.
Oh, my goodness.
And
convenience for whom?
Well, that's a good question, Nancy. It seems like a convenience for the people that are currently providing that service. And which leads into the fact that that one monopoly...
Is that Capital Cab?
Capital City Cab.
Mm-hmm.
Filed a 200-page brief, not counting the affidavits, and not surprisingly said that all Santa Fe needs is this one taxi company and that the certificate of convenience and necessity should be denied.
Does that even pass the laugh test? I mean, have you ever met anybody in Santa Fe who could get a cab when they wanted one?
Well, I'm not an expert in that area. We haven't studied that, but I would
I haven't studied it either, but purely anecdotally speaking, I think many people in Santa Fe have experienced the difficulty that one might encounter trying to get a taxi in this town.
And not surprisingly, that cab company thought it was more than sufficient to just have one company. And it became so litigious and so expensive that this entrepreneur just finally withdrew from the process. And this story has been replicated in many different forms all over the state in different communities. And, you know, from the PRC standpoint, the chief of staff there, John Montoya, who's a very good guy and a reformer himself, points out that in these cases, whoever they rule in favor of thinks that the commission is in the pocket of, you know, when they rule in favor of the entrepreneurs, then they're in the pocket of the entrepreneurs. When they rule in favor of the incumbent monopoly, they're in the hands of those people. So they really can't win. And so I think he is sympathetic to just abolishing this sort of regulatory power. And most states many years ago got rid of it, but for New Mexico hung on to it. And I just point out, Nancy, that nationally in the early 80s, the federal government started deregulating transportation and found that it was much better for everybody, both the businesses and the consumers, and nobody's asking us to go back to the days of, regulating interstate trucking.
Right. I mean, for example, let's say Green Taxi opened up in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. If there wasn't enough business, one would think that somebody might go out of business, and that would be the end of it.
And, the other thing that I didn't even mention, we're just talking about market entry.
Mm-hmm.
The other remarkable thing is the PRC continues to set the prices for taxi cabs and buses all over the state. So if you're a taxi cab in Deming or Angel Fire, you don't set the price. Even though you live in the community, some bureaucrats in Santa Fe set those prices who don't live in that community. And again, we would think, you don't have to be a libertarian or a free market disciple to just recognize that the market might be a better determinant of the price.
Yes, I think everybody's kind of come around to that point of view in the last 50 years, say.
Right.
Okay, so we've talked about insurance, we've talked about taxis. There were a couple other departments that you had suggested moving other places to streamline, and I would just refer people to the report. And I do want to say I highly recommend reading the whole report because it was well written.
Thank you.
The photographs were great, but it was engaging. I learned a lot, and I really did enjoy reading it genuinely.
So your audience, if they want a copy, all they need to do is to contact us at www.thinknewmexico.org and request a copy.
Perfect.
And if they want to make a contribution to offset our cost, that would be appreciated as well.
Fantastic, because you are completely nonprofit and funded by donations.
Exclusively. We don't accept, and it's been offered money from government. It all comes from, individuals. We've got about 800 individual supporters around the state and about 40 local foundations.
Mm-hmm, that's fantastic. Also, people could just pop by your office right off Paseo de Peralta, right next to Rothstein Donatelli, and just pick up a copy because there's a box of them, and it has a great cover, and
they can
enjoy it. Okay, so just to get back to you mentioned a couple commissioners on the current PRC who don't happen to have some of the qualifications that you're now proposing. One of them is Ben Hall, and I read in the, I think it was in the New Mexican last week, that he said, "I'll see this bill killed." Seems like a pretty strong response, especially since there's no bill yet. But what's going on there?
Well, he thinks the status quo is just fine. And unlike, they had a press conference, he and the other commissioner, that want to keep the status quo and don't want to change anything. And my response to that is what's more remarkable are the two commissioners that weren't at the press conference, again, the chairman and the most senior member, who are saying that they would be willing to sacrifice some of their powers to make the PRC work better and to make it better for the citizens and for the PRC itself. And you're a lawyer. That's what's considered testimony against interest, which is the most compelling type of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not that unusual for a politician to say, no, I want to hang on to this power and keep things the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So even though, Ben Hall, who I understand has had some of his own scandals in the past having to do with construction liens and that sort of thing, but even though he said, "I'll see this bill killed," obviously there's no bill yet, but if this was going to happen, it would take both action by the legislature and then a constitutional amendment that would have to be voted on by, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what percentage of the population?
The votes?
To get a constitutional amendment passed, do we know?
Oh, I think it's 50% plus one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, that's how the PRC got passed, is when Bob Pearls passed the legislation, it then became a constitutional amendment, and it only passed 51% to 49%.
Okay. So that would have to happen again, though. We'd have to have both legislative action.
Correct.
And then a constitutional amendment. You want to handicap that? What do you think the chances are of this actually happening?
Well, my staff always laughs about the fact that I'm the eternal optimist, and you have to be to do this kind of work. And so naturally, I believe, despite Ben Hall's promise to get it killed, that I think we've got a really decent chance. And I'm not overly optimistic. I mean, we're going to be taking on, I think, probably a lot of special interests that don't want to see, for example, motor transportation deregulated because it works for their interests.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect that there will be more lobbyists on Ben Hall's side.
More
than on,
lobbyists?
Yes, than on our side. But I just think because, frankly, I think here Jerome Block Jr. has been our ally in the sense that he has really brought to light the problems that some of the problems that the PRC, certainly with corruption and competency. And I think that the legislature will feel some pressure to act. And frankly, there are some really good legislators who see the need to have done this decades ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So besides, I love your optimism. Keep
you.
It up.
Thank you.
Besides coming by and getting a copy of the report or calling, what else can people do? I think you've got something on your website, which is thinknewmexico.org.
Right. And we have what's called the Action Center. And if they go to the Action Center, they don't even need to know who their legislators are. If they just type in their street address, their mailing address, it will pop out and tell them, and it will have a very helpful prescriptive letter, which they can edit because we don't want to put words in people's mouths. But some people are, you know, busy in their lives and would like a prescriptive
sure.
letter. And all that we know, with one click of a mouse, they can send their letters both to their state representative, their state senator, but also the lieutenant governor and the governor, and same letter, just asking that the legislature and the governor support these reforms.
Okay. Well, Fred, thank you so much for the work you do, and thank you for talking with us today.
Well, Nancy, I'm delighted and particularly honored to be the inaugural interview, and really appreciate you giving me this opportunity, so thank you.
And I hope we'll talk again next year.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that something good can come of this report. And in the meantime, here are some parting words for Jerome Block Jr. That's it for Santa Fe Stories this week. Thanks for listening. Look for my next podcast in about 2 weeks on the website storiessantafe.com. Talk to you then.